I mean, I believe in the team just like I did last year. Obviously, we added some new names, and I think this year, really, I mean, if we go home without a trophy, that'll be disappointing. Last year was a little bit different, probably. So, you know, obviously, we're gonna go out there and we're gonna play as hard as we can and compete, and like I always say, just do our best to go out there and perform the best we can.
So, Kevin Barker, Bo Bichette, in an interview from way back in February, suggesting the goal for the Blue Jays this year ought to be to go out and win a trophy. Pretty hefty expectations, I would suggest, for a team that just a couple of years ago wasn't very good.
That's sort of what you've done for me lately.
Optimism.
Don't be Debbie Downer.
I'm not Debbie Downer. Started. I'm just saying.
The season just started.
I'm just saying.
You got to like your leaders just stepping up and being a voice for his team. Would I have done that? No. Well, there's a couple of reasons. I wasn't a good enough player to say things like that out loud to people. I would say it to my teammates jokingly. But it's me personally, you would rather Bo just go out and be Bo and let his bat and his glove and his legs do all the talking. That's because, you know, let's be realistic. They're a Ryu away injury from this being a tough row. And that, I think that's one of the things you got to be real careful about when you're doing a lot of the talking. Again, you know, you got to respect the coming out and saying that we're carrying a trophy across the field, because the National League's got some pretty good teams. And the Yankees, you know, I know they're full of injuries, but they still got a pretty good team and they got lots of money to spend. And they haven't won in a while, and that's going to be a little tough on them. But look, Bo, that's Bo being Bo.
I'll tell you what, the good thing about Bo is he would have said this last year if the season started. He probably thought the same thing the year before.
Yeah.
That's why we like Bo Bichette. It is Baseball Central. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Woo-hoo!
We are just a few days away from the Blue Jays opening the season at Yankee Stadium against the New York Yankees. This weekend saw the Blue Jays lineup settle down, or saw the lineup get settled, I guess, in some ways. Charlie Montoyo announcing that Alejandro Kirk has made the team. I don't think that's a surprise. I think most of us assumed for about the past 2 weeks that Alejandro Kirk would be in the team. We know that Tim Mays has made the team. We know that Trent Thornton's made the team. The bullpen right now essentially comes down to, Gavin, I think the last spot, it depends on how Julian Merriweather responds. And I think it's between him and Francisco Liriano right now. And, you know, it's going to depend on whether or not the Jays want to take three left-handers. In the end, it isn't going to matter, because I'll tell you what. I would be willing to bet that every pitcher who was in camp will probably see at some point in the first 2 months of the season,
yeah,
given the way this is going.
A lot of it has to do with matchup, too. You know, you got the Yankees, you got Texas, you got L.A., the Angels, you got the Yankees again. You know, you're going to go with matchup. How much would you use Liriano against these guys? Pretty heavy, right-handed dominant lineups. You know, does his sinker good enough to make his slider able to swing at from righties? I'm not real sure he doesn't throw as hard as he used to. I used to play with the Liriano in winter ball that would run it up close to a hundo. Now, if that's hundo and he got that slider, now you're talking. But, again, it's, you know, he's sort of a lunch pail kind of guy. You know, how dare you swing at my fastball in? You know, he walks a few guys. He's a little wild. What's exactly he going to bring you? When would you use him? I'll say this, are you okay giving him the ball first and second with one out against a right-handed batter? And if the answer is yes to that, then you take him. If the answer is no to that, you probably wouldn't.
There's a lot of newness around this team this year. Obviously, George Springer signing the big contract. He is currently out with an oblique injury. He will not start the season with the team. Jonathan Davis will make the team instead of him, or will make the team because of his absence. Marcus Semien will be at second base. We already talked about Alejandro Kirk. And Steven Matz, who has gone from being, thanks to injuries to Nate Pearson and Robbie Ray, and he's gone from being a guy that I think a lot of people looked at as being an intriguing fourth or fifth starter to, I would suggest, probably the second best starter in the rotation right now. There's a lot riding on Steven Matz. He's going to join us at 2:25. And we'll talk to Steven about his first spring with the Blue Jays, what his hopes are, and maybe get a little insight from him on what he's expecting in the American League East after coming over from the National League East. He's had a really good spring. Stuff has been really good. Throwing his changeup really well, really effectively. Lots of conviction, something that didn't happen last year. So we really look forward to talking to Steven Matz. 3-1 right now. The Jays are wrapping up their Grapefruit League schedule against the Philadelphia Phillies. 3-1 for the Phillies. That is in the bottom of three. The Jays will charter out afterwards to New York City. They will have the off day in the Big Apple tomorrow. They will have a workout at Yankee Stadium on Wednesday. And then Thursday, the Jays will open the season. We will have a special Baseball Central pregame show from noon to 1 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And then we will take you home after the game with a special Baseball Central postgame edition as soon as that game is over. A little bit of breaking news out of New York. We're following this right now. The Yankees are playing today without Aaron Judge in the lineup. This is the third game in a row that Aaron Judge has missed. It is the last game of the spring for the Yankees. It's not entirely out of the question, I suppose, that Aaron Judge has gone to the Yankees and said, hey, I kind of like where I am right now. Let me have a couple of days off. Really unusual, though. For final day of the of spring training, guys generally like to get a couple of at-bats. And, of course, with Aaron Judge, your concern is always injuries. Interesting sidebar to this. Joe Girardi was scheduled to do a media availability before the game. That was canceled. And he and senior vice president and GM Brian Cashman, who was also going to do a media session today, that media session was canceled as well. So a lot of folks covering the Yankees are putting two and two together. You wonder if Aaron Judge has sustained some sort of injury. Again, you can read a lot. A lot of things can be going on. Of course, we are in the COVID era. You don't know about that. But that's something we'll keep on top of here and also on Writer's Block, which follows the show. Again, Aaron Judge not in the lineup for the Yankees today. Third game in a row he has missed. And, that's intriguing to say the least.
Yeah, well, no Voit in the lineup for a while till somewhere around June. Gary Sanchez looks like Gary Sanchez of last year. How much does that worry Yankees fans? Having no Judge. That the Stanton-Judge thing, how much are they going to play? To say they're going to play 140 games, I just don't think that's ever going to be realistic. Everybody yells and screams about Aaron Judge being the face of baseball. Well, don't you have to play before you can be the face of baseball? Yeah. That's one of the main things. Again, if he stays on the field, he can be one of the best players in baseball because he's a really good defender. We all know what he can do hitting. We know what he can do hitting in that stadium. That's geared up, that swing, letting the ball travel, staying inside the baseball, barreling it up a little bit late, using that short porch and right. It's going to work, but again, he's got to stay on the field. You're not going to go 3 days in a row and not play unless something's up.
Yeah. We'll have plenty of time to break down the American League East over these next couple of days on Baseball Central. We'll do that tomorrow. We'll do it Wednesday as well. We're going to try something new this year as well. On Wednesday, we're opening the phone lines and the text lines to you, the listener. It'll be your chance to talk to Kevin Barker. Questions about the Blue Jays, about baseball, no Bundesliga questions. But we'll be doing that every Wednesday during the season. It'll be your opportunity to talk Blue Jays for a full hour.
Yeah.
And we will send out the details on that, numbers, text numbers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We will do that on Tuesday. As we mentioned, the Jays are currently playing the Philadelphia Phillies. It is now 5-1. For the Phillies against the Blue Jays, TJ Zoik on the mound. The sinker isn't sinking, which
running
is running, which is,
lots,
you know, it's interesting
around the bases.
Well, we were talking about how the Jays may set up their rotation for New York for that first series against the Yankees, and they've been very coy. We know Hyunjin Ryu is going to be the opening day starter. The Jays have been keeping him away from the Yankees. The Jays have basically been playing the Yankees and the Phillies all spring. So they've kept Hyunjin Ryu away from the Yankees. We know he's going to pitch Thursday's opener. A little bit up in the air after that, Robbie Ray has a sore elbow. Of course, falling down the steps. That what day was it where we found out that Ray had hurt himself and Springer had hurt himself? And I'm missing somebody else. Those were the two that immediately came to mind. Robbie Ray will not start in that series against the Yankees. So we really right now, I could go either way. I guess you could look at against the Yankees if you want to run out right-handers. I guess Ross Stripling. I guess maybe TJ Zoik was a guy they thought of because of the sinker. You'd think that might play well in colder weather. Steven Matz, who will join us. You know, how many lefties do you want to run out against that Yankees
I think
lineup?
At this point, you run out the best. If you think he's one of your best pitchers, you have to run him out there.
Tanner Roark's also in the equation.
Well, you're going to skip that because of the day off.
Yeah.
Between, you know, you can get him somewhere in the Angels or the Texas series.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what you want. You don't want him facing the Yankees. You saw the Yankees, him pitching against them in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
How's that look?
Yeah.
You know, I know he's done away with the sinker, but look, four seamers down the middle is about the same thing as a sinker down the middle.
We will we'll be joined by Steven Matz at 2:25. Want to talk about kind of reset where the Blue Jays are as we go into this final spring training game, Kevin. Three things that give us reasons for optimism with this team.
Three things that give us reason for optimism with this team.
And we can kind of combine these. I think we're on the same page about the first thing. You've got a little more detail on it, but the lineup. Obviously, when everybody's healthy, this is a deep, deep lineup with a lot of lineup options for Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah, well, the first one for me is leaving George Springer in the leadoff spot. It's put the real power right up front. You want to punch first, and if you can put a guy that can do what George Springer can mm-hmm. do when he's healthy, you put him in the leadoff spot. You know, the thing would be for me is overthinking it. I just gave him $150 million. You want him in bigger spots, put him down in the order, maybe put him as your three-hole hitter. He can drive in more runs. Walk up to him and ask him if he's comfortable with that. Obviously, he seems like he's not. He wants to lead off. You leave him there. You let him do his thing. I love it that he'd done that. So that's the first one.
Yeah. The other thing I think as well that we've noticed, and you actually pointed it out today. We were watching the Jays and the Phillies, and you pointed it out about Kevin Biggio, and it's kind of a wider topic of discussion here. But much was made by Kevin Biggio very early in spring about how he didn't use the word experiment, but we all know that Kevin Biggio's stock and trade is seeing a lot of pitches and getting on base. That's great. But I think Kevin Biggio and the Blue Jays want him to start swinging at some pitches he can hit, right? You don't want to be too patient. So what we saw today, you pointed it out, Kevin Biggio has done away with the leg kick. Today he was just using the toe tap. Now, he had started to do that only with two strikes during spring training. He kind of simplified things a bit, started to look a little more like Bo when Bo gets two strikes on him. But this gets to a point you made to me, and I want you to develop it, about just in general how we seem to have seen, and it's only spring training,
yeah,
but we seem to have seen an actual honest-to-goodness attempt to develop a two-strike approach in this team.
Yeah, as a group. Last year, 60 games. You know, what would that tell you? Well, that would tell you that the league's nasty, and with two strikes, as a team last year, they hit .160. That's 21st in Major League Baseball. That's not good enough. You want to carry trophies across fields. You can't be .160. Now, you're not going to be over .200 as a team, but you can be better than .160. .160 is not good enough. So as a whole, what do? Kevin Biggio, you mentioned it. Now, toe tap's a little different than what he's doing. With two strikes, he's doing a heel raise. He's just raising his heel, and with no strikes, or with OO, until he gets to two strikes, he's just basically picking his foot up, getting it down to an athletic position and going. He doesn't have the leg kick anymore. Sometimes the leg kick, he's a little late. He sits and spins. The barrel will dip below his hands, and that causes that big uppercut swing. What do you do when you have a giant uppercut swing? You swing through baseballs too much. So he's eliminated a little bit of the leg kick. He's making it a little bit shorter. He's got good hand-eye coordination. He's got good enough bat speed. He can use a little bit of the whole field. You know, it's left center to right field line. It's not the entire field. But if I can, you know, 0-1, take a breaking ball, hit a double into left center field, all of a sudden you get the catcher, the pitching coach, and the pitcher starting to think, now what do I do?
Mm.
You know, he's taking one of my better pitches and hitting it hard somewhere where we're not normally seeing him hit it. Now it just opens up a bunch of things, and it's smart. This is how you stay in the big leagues. I didn't do it when I was a big leaguer. I had trouble with the ball in off the plate, plate awareness. I was not very good at that. And that's why I wasn't in the big leagues very long. You know, I was spread out when I was in the big leagues. And the more I played, the more pitchers got after that weakness, is because the more they see you, the more adjustments they can make. They know that Kevin takes a lot of pitches. And now they're throwing that BP heater in there. Well, you're seeing in spring training, okay. Mm-hmm. Because I'm hitting less than .150, what he hit last year with two strikes, I can't do this anymore. The secondary pitches these guys have are too good. So let's try occasionally with a guy that has a really good secondary pitch to maybe ambush something early to count and get some action that way.
I wonder, in seeing the changes Teoscar Hernandez made last year, seeing what we're seeing from Cavan, you think back to when Josh Donaldson was with this team and everybody, right? Everybody was doing the leg kick.
Yeah, big
everybody. I mean, they would go Ryan in the Goins. Cage. Oh, big God. Him. Ryan Goins. Everybody. I mean, Anthony Alford. Remember these guys? There would be a parade of guys coming out of the batting cage in spring training, and it was like, you know, they're martial arts guys or UFC guys. You know, a leg up there like that. And maybe it's taken them a couple of years to sort of wash that out of the system. And I don't mean that negatively with Josh, but I think maybe it's taken a couple of years for that to kind of get out of the system here.
Yeah, the Bo Bichettes and the Josh Dawsons don't come around every day.
No.
Let Bo kick it to his ear, let the hair flow, and let him do his thing and do what he wants. It works for him.
Mm.
It's not going to work for everybody else. Just too many moving parts. You even seen Bo early in spring training was late all the time. He's late on a heater. He's out in front of the breaking ball. That's okay in spring training. That's why you have spring training for regular guys, is to get the flow. When the foot, a lot of hitters do different things to get to their athletic position, which is when the front foot hits the ground, you have the separation from the front knee to the hands. That's what you want. It's that rubber band effect. Everybody coming up, the high school coach always talks about, get the rubber band effect. Well, that's sort of what it is, right? Everybody in the big leagues don't get to that the same, but when they get to the same, they attack the baseball the same way. But again, I just love it that they bought into, this is not working. And we have main guys on our team saying that we have places that we really want to go as a team. We can't hit a .160 with two strikes and think we're going to get there.
Vladdy Jr., another positive from this spring. I'm not even going to mention, I'm going to mention weight, and I'm going to leave it at that. Because as I said last year, late in the season, I don't think we gave this kid enough credit for the weight that he lost in season last year. Leaving that aside, though, he looks better. He's talked about moving, feeling better when he moves around the bases. I think Ross Atkins made an interesting point about the weight loss. And his point was, when you're carrying less weight, it allows you to do more of the work you need to do to repeat things without getting tired. So it's not just simply you got a big tummy, you can't get through the strike zone. A lot of it has to do with being in good enough shape that you can put that extra work in.
So he can go to a cage and take 100 swings if he wanted to.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying? Look, I'm not a dietitian, and I've said this to you before. I have no idea if that works. When I got a little heavier because I got older and I started, you know, not doing the things I wanted to do, my career was coming to an end. My bat didn't get any slower. My bat was getting slower because I was getting older. Vladdy's always been big boned. Now, pushing 3 bills as a 21-year-old.
That's a big ass bone.
That's a big bone. So just the every, I've said this to you before, just everyday life, this is going to be easier for him. And right. I really do think that the now of being okay with his appearance, when he walks to the plate now, it's not like he's sucking in so nobody can see his belly. And now I'm trying to suck in and hit a baseball. It's impossible to do that. And you can see it. It's free and easy. It's almost one fluid motion. How many times have you heard me come on here and say, why do you start, stop, and start again? Why did you do? Now he's not doing that. So things just don't happen overnight. He's worked into, now I don't have to worry about this. Now I'm going to be a better defender because I can get up on the balls of my feet. Most of the time, I'm more side to side now. I have a little bit of a quicker move. My arm is, you know, probably the best in the infield that they have. So that part's taking care of itself. You know, feet work around the bag is going to be a little better because he can get up on the balls of his feet. He's not pushing 3 bills. So it's just fun. And I don't know if you've seen it, but the sound, when you can actually hear what's going on at the game, the ball coming off his bat is, you're talking Giancarlo Stanton kind of noise.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they have to have that from him. Like, he's got to be, I'm not saying MVP because I don't think he can hit enough home runs to be in that, but I think he's got to be right there with Bo.
If he is the second best hitter in the team, you're good.
I think you're good. I really
between
do think,
Springer or Bo and
I
him.
I think Teoscar Hernandez.
I'm not taking it away from you. I'm all in on
if
it.
If you're hitting cleanup in front of in front of Bo. I like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Doesn't look like it's going to happen that way, but there's going to be traffic. Yeah. And we saw first inning here. He comes up first and second, and he swings the ball out of the strike zone. He's got to grow into those kind of things.
There's no doubt that with Marcus Semien and George Springer, in addition to
Bo
and slim down Vladdy, this is a hell of a lineup.
It is.
This is a right-handed hitting lineup I'd put up against any in the majors.
It
right
is.
Now.
I love Vladdy hitting behind Teoscar, because if you're a pitcher and you're sitting in a meeting, you pitch those guys exactly the same way. Hard in, soft away. And if I'm Vladdy, being a younger guy, standing on the on-deck circle, and I see that guy's fastball starting strike and running in off the plate to Teoscar, what's that tell me? I don't want to swing at that. I want to look for something out over the plate. So just giving him that little bit of information on your at-bat, on the on-deck circle, that's what I said. I just think if Vladdy can just keep it one fluid motion and swing at his pitch, holy moly.
Now, the flip side of the starting rotation, and we will deal with that in the last segment of Baseball Central, because that is a legitimate concern. But I look at the Blue Jays' bullpen, and for a team that just lost a guy that a lot of us thought was going to be the closer in Kirby Yates and is done for the year, it is remarkable how little panic there has been. This is a team, this is an organization that historically has been able to put bullpens together. And I think back to 2015. Think to the way that team contended in 2015 with a rookie closer. And I understand they don't have a guy who's a Roberto Osuna right now. But what I'm saying is, this organization, I go back to J.P. Ricciardi when they found guys like Aquilino Lopez. They've always seemed to put together a bullpen. So I look at this group right now, and between Rafael Dolis, operating under the assumption that the back spasms are just a minor thing, between Dolis and Baruchy and Jordan Romano.
David Phelps, don't forget that.
David Phelps has looked good.
Yep.
Out of those guys, I can cover off those last two innings. And I got to throw this in, because a guy who has really, really caught a lot of people's attention this spring has been Tyler Chatwood. Now, he's moved over to the other side of the rubber, giving him a better tunnel towards home plate. He's got a lot of people's attention because he's a guy in the past. No one's doubted his stuff, but his mechanics have been out of whack. So I'm saying I actually still view the bullpen as a strength for this team.
Yeah,
right,
that's with that swingman / hybrid role. They have quality when it comes to that. You could have Thomas Hatch when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. You could have Anthony Kay. You could have TJ Zoik, who we're seeing here. You could have Julian Merriweather. You could have Trent Thornton. They have guys that could pitch the first two innings of a game, that opener thing, and they have guys that could pitch the fifth and sixth inning of a game. So it takes pressure off of your rotation. That's their weakness. Make no bones about it. When we're talking about Ross Stripling could be your second game starter of a season, look, to say that's a strength is not true. So how do you hide that? How do you make it easier for just a guy to go, a Robbie Ray to go, okay, your strength is you've gained 20 pounds of muscle in the offseason. You want to muscle your way through a game. You're a high octane. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Let me see as much as I can give it to you. If he could give you that four innings of one run ball and turn it over to the hybrid swingman kind of guys, that's where you're talking about eating up the innings. You know, you talked about that 60 game and how they're going to do it. Well, that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They're going to do it with guys that can do it to take pressure off their starters. It makes a lot of sense.
And just to kind of put it all in context for you, the difference between 60 games and 162 games is about 900 innings. 900 innings of pitching. So
yeah, but I think the word is, you got to remember, you can just run out anybody.
Right.
But it's quality.
Yep.
Can they run out quality? And I think they can do that.
Yep. I think they can.
Yeah, they sure can.
Steven Matz is one of the newest members of the Blue Jays. He'll join us next. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Safe to say that the Blue Jays signing of George Springer and Marcus Semien in the offseason were the two high-profile moves made by this organization. But initially, at least, given the issues this team has had with health surrounding its starting rotation, initially, at least, it's the signing of Steven Matz that will probably be of primary importance right out of the gate. And we had a chance to catch up with Steven Matz earlier today. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for joining us today. Listen, Pete Walker said a couple of days ago when he was asked about your spring that from his point of view, you're pretty much on top of your game. Those were the exact words he used. How do you feel right now?
I feel really good. You know, I came into camp, you know, feeling good, feeling healthy, and just being able to get to work with Pete a little bit. Just some of the things I've been able to implement with him. I just feel really confident. I feel just really excited to get the season going.
Yeah, Stephen, you mentioned those things you wanted to work on. Every player has goals when they go into spring training. You know, besides the obvious things, is there one goal that you were sitting at home going, I can't wait to get to spring training and fix or work on this?
I think the biggest thing for me every year coming into camp is just like establishing all my pitches, being able to throw them for strikes and feeling comfortable with them. And so, you know, I didn't feel like I had to fix anything. You know, I think it was, especially in talking to Pete, he checked out a couple of things. It was just, hey, let's try a couple adjustments here, a couple adjustments here, a thought process here. And then those type of things really translated well for me. That was kind of my thing, is just feeling comfortable with those pitches. And right from the start, you know, I felt comfortable with all my pitches from the first game to now. So that was good.
Yeah. What tells you you're locked in? What if you're throwing strike the fastball where you want to throw it, if your breaking ball's coming off your fingers the way you want it to, what tells you that you're right?
Yeah, it's definitely fastball command starts there. You know, everything works off that fastball command, being able to go in and out, when you want to, and then being able to throw your off speed for strikes in any count. Having that curveball is having it as a put away, having it as a strike, and then, you know, being consistent with the changeup as well as the slider, you know, just being able to throw them for strikes, making them competitive pitches. And so that's kind of that feedback that you get when you're like, wow, I'm ready to go now.
It's interesting you mentioned your changeup, because it seems from spring training I'm going to use the phrase a lot more comfortable with it now. I don't know if you would use it that way, but you're certainly not afraid to use it against left-handers. And I think you said you view it as an out pitch for you.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. So, I have a lot of confidence in that pitch, and definitely, you know, it's good to get the feedback from the hitters in spring training. While, you know, you just take some shots with it, and, you know, it's good to have that feedback. So definitely, I definitely view it as an out pitch. And I'm going to continue to stay with it.
You obviously have great stuff. Why do you think things didn't click in New York?
Last year just got away from some of the things that I normally did well. You know, I mean, 2018, 2019, I mean, back-to-back seasons of 30 starts. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily Jacob DeGrom, but and was a little inconsistent at times. But I felt like I was really kind of in a good spot going into 2020 spring training. And, you know, I'm not really sure to put my finger on one thing, but I think my velocity started going up a little bit, and my command, my misses were really big and stuff like that. And so I think just, you know, those few adjustments, you know, and the command is a big deal. And so I just kind of got a little erratic last year and definitely hurt me. So.
Now I'm wondering, Stephen, I know that for a while with the Mets, you were with Marcus Stroman. Did he talk to you at all about pitching in the AL East, or have you had a chance to pick his brain about that?
No, but I got to talk to J.A. Happ a little bit this offseason as he moved down to Nashville area where I live. And, you know, he's had a lot of success here in Toronto and stuff. And so it was good to talk to a guy like J.A. Happ about that type of stuff. So
what did he tell you? Because he's the guy who had success against the Yankees. He's the guy who had success with the Yankees as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, he didn't give me any big pointers or anything, but just picking his brain a little bit, seeing how he pitched, you know, asking about the organization and stuff like that.
Now, Hyunjin Ryu's on your team now. What kind of things have you observed from him or picked up from him in camp?
Yeah, I've definitely been watching him closely. You know, he's been one of the best pitchers in the game for the past, you know, 4 years or so. And just seeing the way he pitches, you know, he just really knows how to get guys out. And, you know, so I've just been watching that, and it's going to be more fun now that I can actually, you know, the games haven't been really broadcast and we can't watch the games, you know, because of the protocols with spring training. So it'll be fun to be out in the dugout and really watch him go through a lineup and see how he navigates it, stuff like that.
Do you have any idea when your first regular season start is going to be, and sort of what the process will be leading up to it, whether you'll pitch a sim game or whatever?
They haven't disclosed that yet. We're going to, I kind of have an idea of what routine I'm going forward, but you know, we're going to just kind of, I'm sure I'll talk to them soon and we'll get all that squared away.
Okay, the commissioner is talking about doing something different to the baseballs. Have you noticed, you know, bigger seams? It feels different in your hand. Have you noticed anything like that?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I haven't given up a home run this spring, but really I've kept the ball on the ground a lot. So, you know, it's tough to tell. I think, you know, over a long sample size, you'll be able to figure it out. And so I guess time will tell and we'll see. But as far as pitching with the ball and stuff, I haven't noticed a huge difference, no.
Steven, what's the feeling, the mood in that clubhouse, knowing you guys are going to start the year in Dunedin? You will be going to Buffalo, possibly in Toronto. I mean, this is a team that had to kind of live with that uncertainty last year. How are guys handling that, and how are you handling it personally?
You know, I've been really impressed with the whole squad here. You know, they're gamers. They seem like a real kind of gritty team, and nobody complains. I mean, I love it. I come over here, you know, nobody's complaining about anything, and everybody's just going about their business, working really hard. And so, you know, I think that's the mentality this team has. And so it's been really enjoyable to come into a clubhouse that is like that.
Steven, listen, we really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much. Stay healthy and keep it going, man.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Take care.
This is Steven Matz of the Toronto Blue Jays. We don't know when exactly he's going to start. I'm hoping he starts at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees, although as we talked about with all those right-handed batters, you may want to back him off a bit. I think, to me, he's been your second-best starting pitcher in spring training. So let's get at it with Steven Matz in that series. Some good news for a couple of Canadian ball players. And what are our concerns about the Blue Jays? We talked about the strengths. What are our concerns about the Blue Jays going into the season? We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Writers. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good news for a couple of Canadian major leaguers. Congratulations, Zach Pop from Brampton, Ontario. He has made the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins roster, Rule 5 guy. And this is really good news. Mike Soroka is going to pitch one or two innings in the Braves' final spring game tomorrow. It will be his first appearance in a game of any kind since surgery to repair the right Achilles. Remember, he tore that on August 3rd in his third start of the 2020 season. He's pitched in sim games and in a controlled environment. But this is going to be his first honest-to-goodness appearance in a game. And he is expected back in mid-April. I'm sorry, yes, mid-April, more than likely late April. But we'll talk about this later on this week. But if you want good value right now in Vegas, picking a team to win the World Series, get all over the Braves. Because they're good value, and I think they are going to come out of the National League this year. We'll talk about that. But they're my National League pick. Aaron Boone just did his media availability in New York. The information on Aaron Judge is that he is, quote, under the weather. Aaron Judge hasn't played since Friday. He's missed three starts, including this final spring start. So again, with Aaron Judge, there was a lot of concern in the Yankees, the local press, and online about Aaron Judge. As far as we know now, Aaron Boone saying, the manager of the New York Yankees, saying that he's just under the weather, so he's expected to be in the lineup on Thursday, which is when the Blue Jays will open their season in the Bronx. A reminder, we will have a Baseball Central pregame for you leading up to the start of the game, and then following the game will be Blue Jays talk with Barker and myself. Walking you through that. So that is the schedule for Thursday. Also, a reminder, on Wednesday, we will be taking your calls. We will be taking your texts every Wednesday, during the baseball season. We'll come up with a pithy name for it. It's your call, or make the call already. Or I don't know. Something like that. Some sort of pithy name for it. Make
text,
the call
text
Wednesdays.
In and tell us what name you want to
name. Yeah, that's good. Text
let
it
the
in.
People name it.
All right, sure. Wingnut Wednesdays. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. Mouth Breather Wednesdays. Whatever you want it to be. You can send it in. But anyhow, we'll go
keep
with it.
Keep it clean, though.
Well, I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to keep it clean. I'm not, I mean, I would enjoy, I'll get a chuckle out of it. I won't say it, but, I'm certainly not afraid to read the odd cuss word.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the fans think of this team. Because this team could go one of two ways. I don't know if there's a middle ground for this team.
See, I think there is. Well, we got time to talk about that later in the week. Because I think there is a middle ground for this
team. You think
so? I think there's a middle ground. I don't think it's necessarily feast or famine like a lot of people do. I think there's a middle ground for this team that makes a lot of sense. But we'll talk about that. We talked about the things we like with the Blue Jays, who, by the way, are losing to the Phillies right now. That's Florida, right? We're watching the game in the tube. I mean, it was pissing. It was biblical stuff. It was, you know, I was waiting for Noah's Ark to float across the damn field.
Yeah.
Now it stopped.
That's when they run the minor leaguers out there.
That's right. Here come all the guys with numbers 70 and 80.
Barker.
Get Barker. Loose. Barker, get your cleats. Come on, get your cleats. You're going out
no,
there.
No, I'd had my cleats on, but I'd have been scrambling for gloves.
Yeah, see, Bryce Harper now, he's gone.
Told you.
He's gone. He's saying, I'm out of here.
Told you.
I'm going to go gas my car up. That was a great picture, by the way. Bryce Harper gassing his car up in his uniform.
That's Bryce. I've been on the bench with him when he's asleep. During a game.
So, hey, yeah. Before we get to what concerns us about the Blue Jays, we mentioned that Tim Mayza, Jonathan Davis, Alejandro Kirk, they have all been told by Charlie Montoya that they are in the team. Julian Merriweather pitching right now. We might know more about that later on, whether or not he makes the team. You made the team out of spring training 1 year. Tell me what that's like. Put me in the position of, I don't know, Alejandro Kirk. Finds out from Charlie Montoya.
Well, it's different now. It's different now. These kids are used to these kind of things. But I was so terrified, I forgot where I parked my car. It took me like 10 minutes after the game was over, after Davey Lopes came over and told me that I'd made the team. I had a pretty good idea that I was making it, but until you actually hear it out of the manager's mouth.
Where did he tell you? Did he tell you? Did he bring you into the office?
He did. That's what they do. Yeah, either I think it might have been on the road. I can't remember exactly where he told me, but I had a pretty good idea. You know, I'd made it through cuts. You make it through cuts, you can sort of put two and two together and think you're going to make it. And then when you hear the manager actually tell you, I'm not kidding. It took me 10 minutes to find my car. I was beeping that little beeper till I thought I'd heard it over there and it wasn't over there. And then I thought I was so all over the place. And, you know, it's a little terrifying to just actually think that you're breaking with the big league team, all the hard work, all the things that you did growing up. And, you know, again, you got to think, I came from a town that didn't have a stoplight. I was a kid in a big town was an understatement. And for me to actually live my dream, it was something special. There's nothing like standing on that line, opening day of a big league season. I got to do it once.
Did you tip your cap?
I don't think so. It's just, they
called it. Was it home or away? It was in Milwaukee, right?
No, it was in Cincy.
Or in Cincy?
It was in Cincinnati.
Okay. But you were with the Brewers then, right?
I was, We were playing the Reds.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was it was probably, besides me getting called up the first time, it was the most exciting time of my career. It was a lot of fun.
All right, let's talk about the Blue Jays. Clearly, the area of concern that everybody's going to talk about is going to be the starting rotation. There wasn't a lot of certainty going into spring training. After Hyunjin Ryu, Robbie Ray, work in progress, bit of a reclamation project, Tanner Roark, Steve Matz, a guy, quote-unquote, change of scenery guy, Ross Stripling, kind of a swing guy, Nate Pearson, you know, the guy that everybody keeps waiting for. So I think most people would say that going into spring training, the starting rotation was the biggest concern. Do you see it right now as the biggest concern?
Yeah, with their defense. The defensively, yeah, they're you know, communication and first moves, and it's not the greatest. And for a team that's not going to strike out a bunch of people, they're going to have to be real good. Louis Rivera is going to have to be almost perfect, putting these guys in the right position when it comes to the shift. And
let's be clear, just to Because I know there are people out there saying, well, wait a minute, didn't bringing in George Springer help with the whole run prevention thing? Well, George Springer is an upgrade over whoever they have in center field. He's an upgrade over whoever they have in right field as well. So, yes, he helps there. But in the infield, you've got Marcus Semien playing out of position. I think we can say that.
Yeah.
Got Kevin Biggio trying to learn third base. You've got Vladdy along with Rowdy Tellez, but you got Vladdy at first base. I don't know how much we're going to see him at third base this year, but he's certainly at first base. And you got Bo, a shortstop who, well.
I mean, as of right now, he's going to be the shortstop. Perfect scenario, keeping him on the field, getting him to the fullest of his potential. Me personally, I don't think he's a shortstop. I think first moves and arm strength, and but offensively, you want him happy. And right now, that offensive thing makes him happy playing shortstop. That's what you want.
The thing that gives me hope is that we have seen with this kid that he can make himself better when he applies things. So maybe he will turn himself into a better defensive shortstop. But my whole point is, and this gets with your point, this is a team that is not going to strike out a lot of guys. The ball is going to be in play.
Yeah.
You've got a guy at first base. Like, we haven't seen enough of Vladdy at first base to know about some of those, you know, those intrinsic moves that have to come naturally late in the game.
Let me ask you a question. The ninth inning, bases loaded.
Oh, I knew.
Who would you be okay with the ball being hit to? That includes the outfield. I'm not talking about a routine fly ball, but I'm talking about a ball like in the outfield.
Semien.
Somebody hits in the gap.
Semien.
And you got to put your head down and run to it and look up and catch it.
Semien.
Consistently.
Semien. Be the only, I mean, other than Springer, it would be Semien.
That's the point is it's going to be very hard consistently to give teams more than 27 outs.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets back to that unfamiliar positioning. Just to keep a bat in the lineup. That is something I'll never understand. Why you put a Kevin Biggio in left field when you're trying to win games and, you know, just to put somebody else's bat in the lineup just doesn't make any sense to me. If they can't DH and they can't play their position, then they shouldn't be playing that day. It's what's best for the team.
Yeah, I'm hoping that at some point, God love him, I don't think he'll do it because of the way he's wired. I would love at some point Kevin Biggio to go into Charlie's office and say, let me play third.
Yeah, I think every once in a while.
Just let me do this.
Somebody's got to be the big boy in the room and go, hey, does it help our team? And nobody in the room could go, yeah, it helps our team. No, because you saw how it looks. I'm not saying that that's what they're going to play him consistently, but they can put him in right. They can put him in center, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me. He could play a little second because he's used to that.
I would suggest this.
He could play a little third, and he could DH occasionally.
Yeah, but I would suggest this. And I understand the thought process as well. When you get late in games, you may have to make moves, et cetera, et cetera. Folks, if you got Kevin Biggio in center field late in the game, you might as well just mail that sucker in. To me, Kevin Biggio should, or even in the outfield, to me, Kevin Biggio should be your third baseman. Play every day at third base until you decide that he can't be your third baseman. But at some point, I love versatility, but not everybody's Ben Zobrist. And I keep getting back to this thing. You know, Ben Zobrist will tell you, you have to get good at one position to be a utility guy. It's not good to be, I'm a little good here, a little good. There's one position you got to have as an anchor.
Yeah.
And
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. from left field to first base. I just don't get it.
Hit the ball, catch the ball.
I get it occasionally. You know, you may not have a choice with some switches and, you know, if they go to the National League East and that kind of thing, but I just.
So we got.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Defense starting rotation, what else concerns you?
I just don't. Well, it's not a really concern. I don't like it when they platoon Rowdy Tellez. You know, if you talk to scouts, you talk to people around the Blue Jays team. They think he can be David Ortiz. And if you look at numbers from David Ortiz this time of his career and look at Rowdy Tellez this time of the year, I don't care what he did in spring training. He's got a big swing. Look, the more he sees pitches, the better he's going to be. He's the one guy consistently that could hit 50. Let's see if he can do it. And platooning him and thinking that he can sit for 2 days, come in and be productive – I just don't really understand that. I would think, is he your everyday DH? Can he DH? Can he occasionally play first base? But my point is, play every single day. I don't care if he's left-handed or right-handed.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Play him.
I'm with you.
And it makes your lineup harder to pitch to because you got one everyday left-handed hitter in the lineup. If you've got a tough right-handed pitcher who can go hard in and soft away with something and make it look like strikes, I just think the more lefties you have in the lineup, the better off they are. And
yeah, the problem, of course, is you've got Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Teoscar Hernandez. They have to be in the lineup every day. You've got George Springer, when he's healthy, has to be in the lineup every day. You've got Vladdy. Yeah. I think he needs to be in the lineup every day. You know who I'm leaving out here? I don't know what you do with Randall Grichuk. I don't want Randall Grichuk and Rowdy Tellez platooning as a DH. I'm with you. I want Rowdy in every day, period. Every day.
I think it gets back to that. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is a left fielder. He plays left field until occasionally maybe Vladdy needs a day off. Rowdy plays first. Lourdes DHs. It's not you're mixing in that DH thing 50 times a year. No. Like, are you the left fielder or not? It's that kind. And prepare yourself mentally and physically in the offseason to do these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just don't think players and teams expect these players to do those kind of things. Are you the left fielder or not? Are you the center fielder or not? Are you the right fielder or not? Like, you know, when I was a player, I took pride in being the first baseman. I wanted to play first every single day. I didn't want to DH or do something else. I worked my tail off when I was younger to play first. And I just don't think you're doing your team or that player a favor by you play left one day, you play right one day, you play second one day, you play third one day. I could go stand at second. I could go standing right. Are you any good at it?
Yeah. So there you go. Well, we got through the first one.
How was that?
Yeah, it's pretty good. We didn't libel anybody. I didn't drop any F-bombs.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, it's early. It is early. We will take a look around Major League Baseball tomorrow. Take a broader view of things. Lots to talk about before Thursday's opener. We got to talk about pitching. Where are all these innings going to come from? We're already seeing some funky stuff being done by teams to account for this sudden change from 60 games to 162. Dunedin, Buffalo, Toronto, what does that mean for the Blue Jays? We even got some labor talk. Maybe we'll talk a little collective bargaining. You ready for that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy. Can't wait. Writer's Block is next. Baseball Central is back mañana. Have a great day.